Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Locatora Radio. Locatora Radio. Locatora Radio. Mommies of Myth and Bullshit. A radiophonic novella.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Munoz
and Diosa Femme.
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome back to Locatora Radio.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Mala.
And I'm Diosa.
And we are Las Locatoras of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Which is just a really, really extra way of saying...
A podcast.
We have a really exciting interview coming up. Mala, can you introduce our guest?
Yes, we are delighted and pleased to invite the Bag Ladies of Bag Ladies Podcast, Stephanie and Lena, onto Locatora Radio. We did a collaborative episode with them a while back, and we wanted to do another one so that we each had an interview on each other's, project. So we want to invite you to share space with us and Bag Ladies. It's a fun interview. We talk about Hispanic Heritage Month, weird things white women did this week, inspo behind starting a podcast, and reflections on being indie podcasters now for like the past 3 to 4 years.
Yes. So just a little bit about them. Bag Ladies is a podcast about baggage, yours, mine, and ours, created by two Dominican Afro-Latinx podcasters. Through the podcast, their goal is to help themselves and their listeners by pushing themselves to be vulnerable about the way that the world affects them and their ability to live their truest, most authentic lives. So we're really excited to bring them on to the podcast. They are two amazing individuals, beautiful inside and out. So here is the Bag Ladies. We are so excited to welcome the amazing podcasters, Bag Ladies. Lena and Stephanie are in the building. Well, actually, they're not in the building. They're on the phone. They're joining us today. Yay.
Welcome via Google Hangout. Hello. Can you say hello to our locamores? Introduce yourselves, please.
So we are the Bag Ladies. We're a podcast about baggage, how to let go, and how to go through it. Our saying is, let us help you help us help you with your baggage. And I'm in Stephanie.
And I'm Lena. And together we're the Bag Ladies.
Together we're the Bag Ladies, yes. Yeah. And I guess, who am I? My name is Stephanie. I'm a bronze babe. Hey. I'm currently a producer, a podcast producer. I work with... I'm trying to think how to do a little finesse. So I'll start from here. So hi, I'm Stephanie, and I am the co-host of Bag Ladies, obviously. That's why I'm here. And I'm also a producer. I'm living in Brooklyn, slowly trying to transition back to the Bronx. I'm an Afro-Latinx person, and I love to tell stories, and I'm super excited.
Yes. Yeah. And Alina.
Yeah, so I'm the other half of Bag Ladies. I'm also from the Bronx. I currently live in Philly, though. I just graduated law school, so I'm like a lawyer or whatever.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Also, I'm queer, identify as non-binary, and, you know, we just out here trying to help everybody let go of them bags because... we all struggling, like, let's not front.
Surely. There's a lot going on. Yes. I feel like across the board, like politically, economically, psychically, mm-hmm. cosmically, everyone is a little stressed out. And so we thank you for your work because it's definitely necessary.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah. You're so kind.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dang. And we appreciate y'all work too. Like, you know, the capitalist white supremacist patriarchy has been trying to kill us from day one, but you know, still we rise or whatever.
Right. Whatever.
Everything we do is kind of like part of that resistance, so I really mm-hmm. am excited that we've been able to like link up and work together.
Absolutely.
Yes, this has been in the making for more than a couple months now, mm-hmm. so we're really excited mm-hmm. that this is finally happening. Just to get us started, you know, you introduced your podcast to us already and what you do and who you are. But I'm really curious as to what the inspiration was to begin Bag Ladies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we started Bag Ladies back in like at the end of 2015. And we were both getting into podcasts, like just listening to a lot of podcasts. Mostly we were listening to The Read, and we were just like, there's not a lot of podcasts out here with Black people and people of color. And there's also like no podcasters that sound like us or have similar life experiences. So we were like, why? And we had been friends for a long time. And Stephanie and I, we've known each other since we were kids. Mm-hmm. And we were just kind of like, you know, like we have a good rapport. We have a lot. We used to talk about political things and emotional. And we had started working on our friendship and therapy and all this stuff. And we're like, I feel like there's an audience out there for us. Like there are people who might want to hear what we have to say. Like, and this is it's supposed to be like such a democratic kind of medium that anybody could do it. You can have access, you can make it yourself. And we were kind of like, let's put ourselves out there and just see what happens. And we did it like very like casual. It wasn't like casual. I mean, we were committed, but we were just we didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And it's been like beautiful journey since we started the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you've been podcasting now for 4 years. So like we were talking mm-hmm. about before we started recording, we're not like little baby podcasters anymore. Like we're really committed to this art form. Mm-hmm. And we were wondering, you know, like if you have any reflections or lessons you've learned since you've started this project and keeping it up into the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, things that we learned, I think at the beginning of our podcast, we were very kind of afraid of showing who we are, like literally, because we talk so much personal things and we're just like, this is way too personal for me to be telling a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
We realized the impact it is to show people who you are and to not be afraid. I think everybody was shocked that our nicknames were Stephanie and Lena. They're like, wait, what? Those are not your real names? I'm just like, okay, potato, potato, bro. But it was so important for us to be honest and open with our audience because we're going through this together. So like simple things of like showing our personal IG accounts and like creating an account for people to share and creating a Twitter for people to interact with us. Like, that's something that we definitely learned. Like, yeah, like, we want to talk to y'all too, because like, we're all going through this together. And it's beautiful to see when people just like, yo, like, I had to talk to myself about what I needed to do and then decided to get help. And I think that's just a really great way to kind of help people to be like, yeah, we all going through shit. Let's work it out together. So it's been a really great lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, and definitely. I feel like we learned a lot about like the work that it takes to like create something out of scratch, because we literally had never really done anything like this. It's not like we were doing stuff on social media like separate from this. We were just like kind of, oh, let's create this like project. Let's see how we can use our voices and our stories and storytell and talk about our politics and create something out of nothing. And you have to be like very dedicated to it, because you have to, you know, dedicate yourself to trying to, you know, perfect, or like not perfect, but improve your craft. Also like develop a craft and also learn all of the other things that come along with it. Like, it's not just, you know, we decided to do this one day and bam, like we've been, you know, you have to work at it steadily and kind of put a lot of energy and a lot of put yourself out there and believe in yourself and know that people are gonna, you know, respond to it and hope that. So I think it's definitely like a lot of different challenges for on a personal level that we were like, oh wow, this has really helped us grow personally.
How has it been like for like your friends and family? Like, because you do talk about personal things, right? So how have you found any difficulty navigating that? Because we kind of struggle with that. And like, that was like one of the reasons we, you know, even decided to use Malendiosa
stage names,
you know, for the podcast.
We feel you.
You know, so like, how has do you feel like that has, I don't know, has anything come up?
Yeah. Because we get commentary and feedback once in a while from our family. So,
you know what? Actually, it was funny. In the beginning, I definitely told a story about one of my siblings, and she was tight. She was like, that's not how it went down. Like, Lena, you out here spreading lies, like that. And I was like, oh shit.
Oh no.
After that, like, and then, you know, at first I was like, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. And then I had to be like, let me listen to this again and like check in with myself. And I'm like, all right, maybe I wasn't telling the whole thing, but you live and you learn. And trying to approach it like, I'm not, if I'm calling somebody out, it's because they already know that they did something fucked up. Like, hopefully it's something that I've already addressed in my personal life, and if I haven't, I guess we're about to talk about it after you hear this episode.
Right.
So it can be a little dicey, but I think we try to like protect there is like the personal side of our lives. We try to protect that to some extent. Like,
sure,
you know, we're not out here listening to everybody's names and numbers.
Right.
Right.
Like, whatever. So, but you know, sometimes people do get upset and it's like, well, you know, that's how I experienced it. So maybe we need to have a talk about what it is that you experienced, because clearly we're not on the same page.
That's real.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, bag ladies, can you tell us about what you put in your bag this week?
And can you tell us about, can you explain for our listeners what that means for y'all on your podcast? Because we're borrowing that, of course, for today. Because we want to know, we want to put y'all on the spot and ask what you put in your bag this week.
So
for folks that don't know, we have a section in our show called Put It In Your Bag. It was something that we fuck with, something that we listen to, something that made us feel good, something that just kind of let us enjoy our day, our hour, our moment of peace. So for me this week, I guess what I'm going to put in my bag is my water bottle. Sometimes it's the Sway water bottle. And sis goes through a lot. She falls, she's broken down, like, she real. And I was just like, sis, but I need you for my water. And she's like, here I am, unopened. Not on your laptop. I got you, boo. And, like, that's the strength I need for all things in my life, but especially for my water bottle.
Yes.
Stay hydrated.
The water bottle is important.
Very important. I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and the things we put in our bag can be, like, almost anything. Like, we'll put, like, music, books, and then also, like, our water bottles, like, different self-care things. Like, so, you know, just things that help us, like, cope. I think this week I'm going to put in my bag matcha bubble tea. There's a bubble tea place near where I work. I just started a new job, and I've been going with my coworker because it's a nice opportunity for us to have a little 10-minute walk. Over there, get our matcha, get our bubble tea, and then just, like, I know that I'm going to be awake for the rest of the day. I love matcha. It's mad good. And those bubbles are entertaining, and it gives me peace when I'm, like, at work, and I'm like, this is brand new. This is a brand new experience, and some weird shit is going on, but let me just chew these bubbles and think of my thoughts.
I love that. That sounds refreshing.
Yes.
How about you, Diosa?
Yeah. Are y'all putting y'all bag?
I am going to put in my bag Crisol's new single called Hypnotized. So Crisol is an LA-based artist, and we just had her at our LA Made show, our live show, this past week, and she debuted her single at our show, which was really sweet of her. And well, now it's like you can stream it on Spotify, and it's so good. It's like disco. It's funky. It's I like it. So that's in my bag.
That's really cute. Crisol is great. My bag. Okay, so at the market, they have these like bougie adult Lunchables that are based, you know, it's charcuterie, you know, but it's set up like a Lunchable, and you can buy a different types with salami or prosciutto and different types of cheese.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So adult Lunchables, I'm putting all the varieties in my bag because that's what I've been taking to work and snacking, and it's keeping me sane, and I'm so grateful. So that's me.
That sounds good.
Delicious. I recommend.
That sounds really good. The last 2 days I've had those so Starbucks cheese and fruit boxes.
Hell yeah.
And it makes me sad to eat those. Why? But it also makes me feel good. Like, I'm just like, damn, this is all I have time for right now.
I know.
But also, this is good. It's delicious.
It's hard to
eat. My body's like, girl, you need to stop with this cheese, but can I stop?
No, it's so true. It's so true. Like, I feel like the one thing that's preventing me from veganism is cheese.
Is it cheese?
It's literally cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You can't... Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. But vegan cheese... What's the difference between vegan cheese and Velveeta? Aren't they basically the same thing?
They are. And vegan cheese, no shade to the vegans. Live your life. Live your truth or whatever. But it's just... When you just had real cheese and you just immediately following it up with vegan cheese, you're like, this ain't right. This it's off. So it is hard.
This one time I had some vegan cheese in the fridge and my dad grabbed it thinking it was regular cheese, and he was so upset. He bit into it and was so mad at me.
He's like, the fraud,
because I
the
brought deception. This into the house, and he was like, what is this? He was pissed at me. It was my fault.
Love that. Speaking of cheese, it's Hispanic Heritage Month, and we're wondering about your thoughts and feelings about that, Hispanic Heritage Month.
What do you see is happening? Do we like it?
Do we
hate
it?
Are we over it? Are we ready for next month? Yeah. What's going on?
I just, with, like, we talk about this every year because we're just like, it's like everybody's having a party, but they gave us the wrong address. Like, definitely just feels like erasure. Especially like Black Latinx folks. Like, I remember just having a whole conversation with this random person on Twitter, which I shouldn't, but I needed to educate myself as well. And talking about, like, I was like, yeah, like, you know, this comes around every year. We're like, you know, like, history is erased and these things happen, and like, yes, there are outlets that are trying and doing more, and like, we get that. But, you know, when people get upset when we like talk about like, hey, like, there is erasure, yes, these things happen, it's just kind of, oh my god, no, it's not. Why are you so negative? Like, why can't we just have a month to celebrate? Like, come on. Like, there's a Black Barbie. What do you mean? I'm just like, all right.
Racism is over.
Racism's over.
I have a problem. First, like, the name, like, Hispanic Heritage Month. I don't really know people who identify as Hispanic, especially I feel like a lot of black Latinx people. I can't speak for everybody, but Hispanic is just not a word that's the first word that they're gonna come out with. So I'm like, off rip the name, I'm already like, I got questions.
Sure.
And then when we do see like what is being, you know, like spread and like most promoted, we're seeing like, who do we see on these screens? I saw two women from Spain, two Spanish women musicians on like Billboard Latino, Hispanic Heritage, and I'm like, y'all not Latina, like Rosalía, you're a white woman from Europe who speaks Spanish.
Oh,
girl.
Yeah.
Like,
and they,
so it's an issue, and I'm just, yeah.
They absolutely know the difference too, mm-hmm. because like when I was over,
oh, they definitely do.
They 100% know. I was in Spain this summer, and it's very obvious who are like Spaniards and who are Latin Americans, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of Latin Americans in Spain.
And Spanish people are so racist.
Very,
they
much
are wild.
So. And they're not like, there's not camaraderie. They're not like reaching out and joining in community and whatever, right. whatever. Like yeah. it's, that's not what it is. So on this side of things, when we see people like so fiercely defending like the Rosalías and the others, yeah. I'm like, it's very one-sided because they're not mm-hmm. doing the same on mm-hmm. the other side of the coin. Like they're not interested on that level, but like
right.
Latin Americans are like, and right. you know, US Latinos fiercely like, mm-hmm. no, wanting to claim them when they don't want to claim.
yeah. Mm-hmm. I was telling Mala right. about this Billboard article that I saw. This Cuban journalist wrote about Rosalía and how like Latin purists were like not allowed, like were like upset about her winning the, what was it, what award did she win recently with J Balvin? What was that?
I don't know.
Was it at the Billboards? Okay, anyway, so she wins this award, right?
Yeah.
So this journalist is like calling these Latinx folks that are calling out the whole situation purist, and I'm like, I've never heard that. You know, I have never heard.
I mean, when you know, I hear that, understand. It makes me think like, at the end of the day, there are white people in Latin America uh-huh. and in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. and they do the same shit that white people here in the United States do to black and brown people. Like, let's not get it twisted. You speak Spanish, but are you still a white supremacist? Like,
yes.
I don't know. Because mm-hmm. people will straight up question, like, you see people like Amara La Negra or like people like Lala, and all people will question their Latinidad. So it's like Latino identity sometimes is just so wrapped up in these ideas of whiteness. And we see mm-hmm. it all over like Latin American, like media, diasporic shit. Like where's the brown? There's, you will watch a novela and it will be like in Mexico and everybody's white. Like
yeah.
how? That still, it still boggles the mind.
It's like,
yeah, definitely.
Wild.
And then like someone like a Cardi B who is mm-hmm. her Latinidad is always questioned, and I can see that right. in the comments and like the main in like the, and then it's not even mainstream, but like the remezclas and the Me Too, when anytime mm-hmm. they do any coverage on Cardi B, there's always like folks in the comments like, I don't understand why Cardi B is being covered if she's African American, mm-hmm. she's not
right.
Latina,
and it's anti-black mm-hmm. and Latinos. That's our that's the problem with the Latinx community, is yeah. that people don't want to acknowledge their anti-indigenous, anti-black sentiments. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we want big happy family. I'm like, we're really not.
Right.
Like,
and it's yeah. interesting that you bring up, you know, Hispanic as an identifier, because something that we use over here, like mm-hmm. there are older, like especially Chicanos who mm-hmm. Are like, you know, second, third generation, like Mexican Americans who are like more conservative,
yeah.
who mm-hmm. will say, oh, they identify as a capital H Hispanic. Like
yeah.
that's its own thing. Like that's its own type of person
here
because of their politics mm-hmm. and because of like acculturation and all of those things. So here it's like a specific conservative mm-hmm. type of like non-black
Hispanic,
Latino,
yeah.
capital H Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Which we're not necessarily in community with,
no.
but they're all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think
sure.
also, yeah.
Which I was just going to say, like, for sure, like, I imagine that all these folks, all these people exist, and, like, you know, mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, people, I don't ever want to tell people, like, what to claim themselves, but, like, I just think that, like, it's so important to know that there's more than just you and your family and the people you know.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Like, the
yeah.
world is so big. You cannot assume that, like, hey, everybody's like this.
Right.
Like, that's impossible. That's like, I don't know. Like, you don't go, it's like getting one apple and assuming all apples are red. Like, you're going to look stupid. So,
yeah.
like, you gotta really let yourself be able to question what you think is
mm-hmm.
type of thing.
Yeah, and I think that's you're right. Like, that's what it is. I feel like people are so, they hold on so tight to their identities because
yeah.
because language changes fast and how we identify. Mm-hmm. And, like, Yeah, there are going to be words that there are things we're going to learn about identity that we still don't even know or have words for yet. But we need to be okay with, like, the expansion of that language. But people feel like they're being attacked.
Yeah.
And people are saying, oh, no, you can't exist. And that's not what nobody's saying. Yeah. It's like, people are saying, we also exist.
Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are uncomfortable with, like, sharing the stage.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They don't like it. Yeah. They don't like change. It, like, stresses them out. But, like, for no actual reason, because what is at loss here? Like, what is there really to lose at, like, opening up the identity and the circle and the conversation is my question.
Yeah.
I think...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I just kind of think it's, like, what are they without racism, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, something that they're, like, damn, like, am I really basic or am I good? And I'm just, like, I don't know. It could be that you're basic. I don't know. Right. You got to check it with yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, like, the cognitive dissonance of, like, you know, supremacy, of, like, racial supremacy, white supremacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, and it's like, you know, revealing that, well, the things you thought that you accomplished, maybe you didn't actually accomplish. They were, like...
A part of the privilege.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it's also a part of, like, capitalism, right? Yeah. And white supremacy. They're telling us the white people are, like, we're normal, and only some of y'all get to be up here with us. And so then we're, like, fighting for fucking scraps. Like, no, like, the whole shit is fucked. Like, there is no normalcy where white people are, like, the normal and we're the other. Like, no, we should all be able to shine. We should all be able to have something to be able to survive and thrive. But we've been ripped away. Like, that has been ripped away from us. But just by white people wanting to have everything.
Yeah.
And leave us with nothing at our expense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
I think, too, a lot about how all the reboots and remakes of, like, all these movies are kind of a way for them to just continue to gatekeep, because... the movie was already made, you know, the representation was already had, and you're literally just creating, like, replicas and copies to, like, fill up the space instead of allowing new ideas and faces in, you know, like, they're not even creating new stuff. It's just more of the same to just, like, fill up the marquee, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like that makes me think, like, basically, like, none of y'all new ideas are good. Mm-hmm. We already came up with everything, even though we mostly stole it from y'all. And we will allow one more light-skinned one of y'all who is pretty much passes for white on a regular basis to come in here. Representation. Why aren't y'all happy? And it's like, no, because we want to tell our own stories our way. And that's what we're being prevented from doing.
Right.
That's a good segue into the next topic that we wanted to bring up with y'all is storytelling through podcasting, right? So one of the amazing things about podcasting, and we definitely, like, relate with y'all and how it has been very DIY for us. And it did feel like a very, like, somewhat accessible platform to be able to create, even though it actually is a lot of work. But it still felt more accessible than anything else, right? Considering when we started, which was in 2016. So I just want to hear from y'all, like, what has it been like to tell your stories, create space for other folks in your community, being able to uplift their voices through your platform? How do you feel about that, the storytelling aspect of the podcast?
One, I just definitely think it's so important for different types of folks to tell their stories, because I think the way that we grow in empathy and, like, grow and, like, as a humanity is to listen to our shared stories. And I think sometimes we think that people are so different from us because, like, you know, we speak a different language or, like, you know, we're not from the same neighborhood, but, like, we could all talk about how we're struggling with anxiety. We could talk about how we all struggle with mental health issues and things of that nature. We could all talk about how student loans suck. Like, there are still common grounds that people have. And I think with the podcast, we have definitely learned that, like, damn, we wouldn't assume that people like this will struggle with this. But it seems like this is, like, an overall big issue. And especially when we started the podcast, like, we had, like, these, like, shitty-ass $20 mics.
Right.
And, you know, it. I remember the day that we were both at, what was it? I think it was Best Buy. We were at Best Buy.
Yeah.
And we were, like, literally on 86th Street, that Best Buy. Shout out to you. They got the best stuff on the service. Not the best price, but that's another thing. But, like... I definitely remember us sitting, us standing. I'm like, are we really going to buy $100 mics? And knowing that we both didn't have it in our bank account. And being like, yo, we serious about telling these stories. Like, are we really serious about this? Like, we're going to buy it. Mm-hmm. And we went downstairs and we bought those Yeti mics that we still have today and that we still use today. But it was just that realization of just like, yo, we want to keep doing this shit. We want to keep talking to people. We want to... make sure that our voices are heard, and when we have guests, that their stories are heard, and when we have topics that people can listen to, that because it's important. It's important to see and to hear people like you, because I think one thing that we always get commented on, and like people talk about, is like, yo, I really fuck with how y'all have accents. I love the fact that y'all are like two Bronx bitches, Dominican, trying to be out here in capitalism, and we really fuck with that, because you know, so many times the Bronx gets so much hate for just being the Bronx, for surviving and resisting and building community. People hate on the Bronx all the time, and to know like, yo, we're from the Bronx, we fuck with it, we fuck with it every fucking day, and like, that's the place I grew up, and I want people to know that we exist, we're important, and things of that nature. So the podcast has really gave us a platform to tell those stories and to continue to tell those stories.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like going off what you're saying, like one of my favorite things about podcasting is how different people's voices can sound. I feel like even podcasting, like there's a very, people are supposed to sound a certain way, right? Like people are supposed to talk a certain way. And I love listening to podcasts where people are disrupting all of that. Like, the way that we talk, what we're saying, what we're talking about, our own perspectives. And I think that we're seeing such a growth of that, of like Black and brown people and queer people and people of different identities kind of getting into podcasting. And I just love to hear the sound of our voices, because I feel like we're just disrupting everything.
Right.
Like once you start listening to podcasts like yours, like Locatora or like Bag Ladies, like you cannot say that every person who is from this place is just like that, because we're letting you know that your stereotypes is fucked up, they're trash, they're not accurate, and we're just like, I just feel like it's so powerful and so political for us to disrupt these systems the way that we're doing it. So it's been like very empowering, I think, to know that there is a space for our voices, for our stories, and that they matter, and that, you know, people are fucking with them, people are listening to us and being like, yo, I feel that, like, even if they can't, like you said, relate to us on other things, like there's things there that are deeper that they can relate to.
Yeah, I think it's true that so many of the indie podcasts that are doing really well are done by people of color. And a lot of the more popular podcasts that are getting turned into TV shows, you know, I mean, the Bodega Boys, like The Read, you know,
Two Dope Queens,
like there's all these different folks who are doing amazing work and getting recognized. But then we see like all these articles being written about, oh, Conan O'Brien is just like groundbreaking in podcasting, you know,
revolutionizing podcasting.
And it's wild how like, but that's literally not what we see at all when we look around at the actual landscape. And you know,
because
like
people don't want to see it.
True. Yeah. True, true, true. This is supposed to be like nerdy white boy territory. You know, how dare we?
Right.
Right. Here's all of us. Like, nah, bitch.
Right. Like, no one invited you to the party, and yet you got the address. I gave you the address for a reason.
How did you find us? How did you get here? Exactly.
Yeah, you know, when I like stepped into, well, when I started listening to podcasts, my introduction to it was actually not like white podcasts. One of the first podcasts I listened to is actually an East Coast based podcast, which is Radio Menea, which I know y'all have done a collab with them.
Yeah,
they're super dope. That was one of the first podcasts that I listened to. So I didn't necessarily have this perception or idea that podcasts were very white until I was already creating the podcast with Mala a couple months in, and I was like, oh, okay, I see now. But the folks around me weren't white. They were, you know, other like people of color creating podcasts. So I didn't have that understanding. Now, obviously, 3 years later, seeing all of these white podcasters get certain media coverage and certain clout for, you know, quote unquote, revolutionizing podcasting, it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for y'all. Is this something like this type of like public work, something y'all always considered that y'all would want to do? Or you guys need to?
I don't know. I think that, okay, well, we have been active on social media for a long time, right? Like even before podcasting, like I was tweeting so heavy and posting so heavy to Instagram, just like constantly. But in my mind, I didn't consider it like public work because my accounts were small. I just considered it, I'm just talking shit and I'm just spending my time on social media, you know, just tweeting about hooking up or whatever, partying, I don't know. But then it evolved into something else as things started to grow and as traction started to build, and then I started to publish some writing, and then it became more public work, but it wasn't like intentional at the outset. And I think that when we started the podcast, it was like something fun to do.
Yeah, it really was. Like, when we started the podcast and we had our first meeting, like we both agreed and we committed to one episode a month because we like, we're like, realistically, we can't do more. But then it just grew so fast that we were like, we had to keep up, you know, and like we were, didn't like we put it out knowing that we had like but we both like respectively had small followings so we put it out and didn't necessarily expect a lot of the reception that we did receive, which was amazing. It was incredible. And then that really just propelled us and inspired us to keep going and to create more and more consecutively and consistently.
Yeah, how about you? Yeah. How about you too? Was this, were you like seeking to be like public content creators, public artists, public figures?
Oof, public figures. I want to say definitely not. At that time, I wanted to do something creative, and I was a college counselor for a very long time, and it didn't fulfill me. Not obviously. Working with students in my community is amazing. It's just like the policies and like the politics of education, like the unfairness of college. I'm just like, yo, like I need to do something bigger to support this cause. So while we were doing that, that's when we started Bag Ladies. And you know, I used to edit music, so I was super aware how to edit things already. So when the podcast came up and, you know, I started editing a lot more, I was able to gain a fellowship and then I was able to get a job in producing podcasts. And like, I didn't see my future. Like, I wasn't like, I'm a producer. But I'm glad that I was given the opportunity to, you know, take the hobby that I have to turn it into a job. Is something that a lot of people can't say.
Yeah.
And something that I feel privileged to be able to do. But at the beginning, like we didn't want to show our Instagram. Like I didn't want people to know. And like, I always feel like I always felt like my voice wasn't heard and I felt small because, you know, I was dark skinned. I was dark skinned. I figured it out. No, I am a dark skinned Latinx person, and like I just always felt like, damn, like I don't fit anywhere, and I don't know what to do. So the podcast has really supported me in embracing my voice and being like, yes, I'm out here. I'm black. I speak Spanish. I'd be like, I'm a black person that speaks Spanish, and we're here, and we eat snacks and we drink water. We live our best life, and it was just super important for me to learn that, and I was happy that I got to do that with the podcast.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, thank you both for asking that question.
Yeah, great question.
Oh, for sure.
So,
yeah,
we have a segment on Locatora Radio called Weird Things White Women Did This Week. And this is where we bring our collection of stories of run-ins and encounters with white women and the weird shit that they do. So we wanted to invite you to share if you have any tidbits or stories about white ladies that you want to share.
Lord.
Where to begin?
The tea. Lord.
I mean, to be very honest, I cannot say I had one encounter as of yet.
Okay.
I feel pretty good. Not this week. I feel
I have one, and it hurt my heart. I was like, God damn, like, why are y'all like this?
Okay.
But I was like at work, I'm starting like a legal job and like representing kids and things like that. And the work that we're doing is very concerned with like families and like, you know, it's like child welfare. So it's like concerned about the well-being. But I was literally witness to a conversation between a few white women who literally, oh my God, I keep saying literally, but I'm just because I'm shocked. They went off on a tangent basically talking about people's names and how you can you can tell the situation of a family just based off their name.
No.
And I'm sitting there looking at the other people of color like, what are we supposed to do? And I had to walk out. I had to walk out of the room because I was like, I felt my rage pumping in my ears. And I'm like, I'm about to lose this job. And I just started. Oh my God.
That's awful.
So it's definitely one of those instances where it's like something really horrible is being said. And then because of power dynamics, because of rage, because of racism, because of trauma, it's sometimes hard. Like, that's the thing, like, white women be trying to act like people be calling it microaggressions, and microaggressions, no, it's straight up aggression. Like racist aggression. And it's like, how do you deal with that?
Right. The stress, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, so definitely. Like, there are moments where it's like, it's not, you have to just remove yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds like one of those moments. So I'm glad that you did. And you have your job.
We had an experience.
Yeah, I still have the job, but I don't know if I want it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God. We feel similar ways about jobs in general, employment.
Yeah.
I would just rather not, you
what
know?
What a scam. I know. Right. My ideal work schedule is like 10 a.m. Right. Yeah, no, my ideal work schedule is like 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Agreed.
Like, that's like all the capacity that I have for myself.
Realistically.
Like, realistically.
Yeah,
I will be more efficient if that was my actual work schedule.
Also, is anyone really being productive from 9 to 5?
No.
Like, ain't nobody doing nothing all them hours. Like, come on.
Mm-mm. No. That's when the best tweeting is happening.
It's during the 9 to 5.
It's during business hours.
On your work desktop.
Facts.
Mala, do you want to start us off on our weird things white women did?
Oh my God. Yes. So, we led a femme defense workshop at an undisclosed institution of higher education recently. And we were in what we were told was a queer studies class, gender studies class. And the professor was an older white woman. And so we were like stepping into her classroom space. And so, you know, we sent our workshop details beforehand. Femme defense is kind of like a review of the criminalization of survivors of color and how women are criminalized and penalized and thrown in prison when attempting self-defense against sexual attackers and abusers. Yeah. And so that's like sort of the foundation and the premise of the workshop. And then we talk about some different examples and some case studies and then how we cover the topic on the podcast. And then we end with like a physical self-defense demonstration that we invite all the participants to practice some like self-defense physical techniques. So in the course of the workshop, we're talking primarily about women and femmes of color in this conversation, and that's who we try to center. And this white woman professor, like, multiple times, like, interrupted us and was, like, very dissenting. And
she was very much like, but men too.
What about men?
And we were like, yes, definitely, men too. Men can also be, you know, victims of sexual violence. However, the it usually tends to be men abusing other men.
Yeah.
You know, so even if we are centering women and femmes, like, we're still talking about men and patriarchy and rape culture.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just, she was very much dissenting and trying to be, I don't know if like maybe playing devil's advocate, you know how white women like to do that.
Yeah.
But I think she got mad because, you know, I think about this all the time. And so we were like having this conversation in class. And during our presentation, and you know how there's all these studies and all this writing, all this literature now about how trauma can be passed down generationally in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking, of course, at like Holocaust survivors, survivors of slavery, and how refugees, survivors of forced migration, and how all of that trauma gets passed down to our children and our DNA. But I always ask myself, okay, so, but like, what is the flip side of that? Because it can't just be that victims of violence have this DNA. Where does that trauma and the violence live in white people's DNA? Because it has to have been absorbed somehow on their end, you know?
So
that's a fact.
So Mala says this in class, right? And Mala starts, and I know where this is going because Mala and I have had this discussion before, and I'm like, oh, this bitch is going to take it there.
Yes.
And she is not going to like it.
She didn't like it.
And then later, you know, in the presentation, we talk about our episode that we have. It's maybe from season one or two where it's called like Don't Leak My Nudes. And we talk about like Black China and Rob Kardashian.
Yeah.
And so we use that as like a pop culture reference, but like to invite them to think about it in like the more personal level. Right. And what that means and like the interpersonal dynamics.
Revenge porn
and all of that. So we were like, you know, we're adults. And if you're sending a nude to another consenting adult, then it's fine, you know. And she like didn't like that. And I'm like, so is this like, are we slut shaming in this class? Like, I don't understand.
I thought this was queer studies.
Yeah, I was like, I thought this was queer studies. I'm so confused. And then thinking back. In the beginning, anytime we do a workshop, we ask folks to introduce themselves and also say their pronouns. And so when I asked them to do that, some of them seemed like they knew. They were like, okay, they got it. And then some like were confused. So I was like, okay, like, do folks know about like, you know, using pronouns and et cetera, et cetera. And some folks didn't. So then later to find out it was a gender studies, a queer studies class, I was like, okay, but how?
Yeah.
Like even in like a 101 class, you would know like
pronouns.
This is, you know, these are pronouns. And if you're being asked to say your pronouns, then you would get it, right?
Yeah.
So it was just very wild. So and then true. The class continues.
Yeah.
And at the end,
we were starting to lead our physical technique, you know, component where they practice different like holds and ways to get out of like if someone grabs you and things like that using your voice. And she stopped us and told us we couldn't do it. Like she's made us stop. Like she stopped the physical technique presentation. And she's like, you know, you're in my classroom and I didn't sign up for this and you're coming into my space. And we're like, you invited us here and we're getting paid to be here.
What?
I don't understand.
Yeah. And then once I get upset, I'm upset. I don't understand. I thought that the subject of this workshop was known. And she says, well, no, I didn't know. And so then I was just confused. I'm like, what? Like, why were we invited then? It was just so strange.
She didn't want us there. And that's not the first time that's happened where there's been like an older white woman in the workshop who just will not stop talking and keeps raising their hand and is like super dissenting. So we're noticing a pattern here. And then come to find the campus is 70% Latinx, but like over 90% of the faculty are white people.
Yeah.
Problems. So that would be ours for this week.
So that's a problem.
Yeah. That'd be ours.
Whew. Girl, like, this is like, that's not feminism. I'm like, all right, bitch, like, you need to sit down. We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Basically, enough is enough. Chill. Take a break. We'll take over class today. Like, you don't have to work right now, you know?
Literally just sit in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop.
But it's whatever. But anyway.
Also, you're clearly a terrible gender studies professor.
Clearly.
Hello. I mean, like, day one, attendance, what are your pronouns?
Yeah.
Have the convo.
Hello.
That's how I would run her class.
Same.
That's how I would teach her
class. Straight up derailing conversations about abuse, like, towards women and black women and women of color. Girl, that's, like...
Rude.
That's y'all... Like, that's supposed to be y'all bread and butter. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we were talking about survivors of color, so maybe that was the issue. Mm-hmm.
She didn't like it.
She didn't like that.
She was like, are you only talking about women of color?
Yes.
Or... We were like, yeah.
Yes. I'm like, the same way you only talk about white women, apparently.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, no, she wasn't a fan.
Oh, well. But that's how you know sometimes that you're doing a job well done.
Yeah.
Because it reveals something when
they
get upset. It's like, oh, okay, something hit.
Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Bag Ladies, what can we expect next from you? Where can our folks and our listeners find you and follow you and support the project?
So we have just started our newest season. I think we're like 3 or 4 episodes in. So you can definitely expect some new guest episodes. We're lining up some exciting interview guest for the new season. We're trying to dig deeper, like talk about some more, even more intense baggage and how we're dealing with it, because shit is getting real. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the mm-hmm. effort has to be there. And you can find us on Twitter at BG_ladies. You can find us on Instagram at BG ladies. You can go to our website, bgladies.com. And we are on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, all of the podcast apps, as BG ladies. Yeah. So definitely like, come listen to us. We have mad episodes from like all, from years past. So if you want to like get on a binge, like go for it. We talk a lot of shit.
Love it.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. We hope that we can meet in the flesh very soon. Either y'all in LA or us in New York. Mm-hmm. We would love that.
It's time.
East Coast, West Coast link up.
Yes.
The best. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. We've been wanting to do this interview for a long time, so I'm really happy that we were able to do this. Thank you so much. We love you.
Yes, we love you.
Yeah, we love you back. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, okay. Hasta la próxima.
Besitos.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. 19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.